Isaiah 66. We're going to be looking at verse 13. God looks for an illustration to describe His love. He uses an illustration that transcends language, religion, culture, race, politics, and time. He uses a mama's love. So would you look with me, if you will, in chapter 66 of Isaiah, verse 13. It says, "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem." I'd like to take as my text the first part of verse 13. "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you." Let's pray. Father, I bow before you and thank you for the privilege of being in your presence this morning and with these folks. And you know my heart, Father. You know how desperately we need you to show up, Lord, as we meet together like this. I don't want to be a pointless, powerless preacher. I don't want to just take up people's time, Lord. I want to be a blessing, and I'm asking you that you would use me to be a blessing to the folks right here today. God, would you speak to hearts and help us to understand the power of a mama's love, but also your love. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. It's interesting. Mother's Day is intended to be a time in which we stop and honor our mothers. And I ask the question, are all moms perfect? No. No, as a matter of fact, it's sad to say, but Mother's Day is not always a happy time for everybody. For some, it will remind them of the loss of their mom. For some, it will be a reminder of how they have not been able to be a parent. For some, it will remind them that their relationship with their mother has not been healthy and has in some way hurt them in some deep way. So for everybody, it may not be a happy Mother's Day. But what I want to look at today is what God had in mind when He talks about a mama's love. You see, but even in our brokenness, there's something unique and amazing about a mama's love that God still wants to use to illustrate His love for humanity. As I sat down and read this, it just kept going through my head. Out of all the things in this world God could illustrate to use to show us His love, He picked a mama's love. And I started thinking, why did He do that? Well, first of all, I want you to think through it. That it doesn't matter what country that you come from or what language you speak, most mamas love their babies. I was reading different quotes from around the world from mamas. I listened to the story of a mom, a poor mom from Rwanda, whose child had hydrocephalus and his head was swelling up. And in their culture, it basically ostracized him from his culture. And, you know, moms are defensive. She bears are defensive about their cubs. And so she got to a point where they were constantly, brutally picking on her son. And her husband was no help and had absented himself. And she got to a point where she was seriously considering suicide after killing her son to spare him the agony. And she couldn't do it. And she began to pray and cry out to God and say, "God, if there's an answer, show it to me. God, please help me." That same day, she heard of a clinic, a free clinic, that wasn't very far away where she could go. And she went and took her son. And they inserted a shunt to drain the fluid off and were able to help him. And now he's a happy, healthy young man. And I'm going to tell you, it was because of a mama's love. Several years back in China, there were massive earthquakes, and this story sticks with me. As they were looking through the rubble, one of the men looked into the remains of a house where he was told by the villagers that a young lady lived, and he could look in and he could see her body, and he reached through a hole in the wall and touched and felt that she was cold. And they moved on to the next house. But he said something kept pulling him back to that house. And he told the other workers, he said, "I have to go back." And so when he went inside, they moved rubble and got inside and found her in a very awkward, contorted position with her back and her skull crushed from the stones that fell. And when they pulled her up, they saw a flowery blanket covered with dust underneath, and in it a 3-month-old baby. It was her son. She didn't have much time, but she left her son a text message on her phone, and here's what it said. If you can survive, you must remember that I love you. Mama's love. Mama's love is bountiful. She loved us before she saw us. But you know, God saw us before Mom knew we were there. And he loved us more. The psalmist said, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. Mama loved us when she did see us. I don't care what you try to tell me. And I get it. And I'm not a mom. I understand that. But when that little bundle comes out, all greasy and nasty, and I know a lot of them have hair, okay? And when they come out, that mom will look at that greasy, slimy ball and go, they're so beautiful. You see, mom can see you in your mess and sees beyond the mess to who you will be. And I'm telling you, God does the same thing with you and me. He sees us in our brokenness. He sees us in our mess. He sees us with what life has covered us with. And God looks through it and he sees who you can be in Christ. And God is your greatest champion. And don't tell me your mamas aren't your champions. When I was in school, I can vividly remember being told, the truth of the matter is, school bored me. Not because I was a genius, but because I had better things in mind. And I was the class clown. I know that's hard to believe. But it was true. And I stayed in trouble. Had a third grade teacher that met with my mom for a conference. Conferences were on the regular agenda at my household. And I can remember my third grade teacher, Miss Shirley. And teachers, by the way, that was years ago, and I still remember Miss Shirley. Miss Shirley looked at my mom, and here's what she said of a third grade boy. She must have thought she was God, because she looked at me in my mess, and here's what she said, though. Unlike God, she said, that boy of yours will never account for anything. When I graduated from high school, my mama sent a copy of my diploma to Miss Shirley. When I graduated from college, she sent a copy of the diploma to Miss Shirley. When I answered the call into the ministry, she contacted Miss Shirley. Because I'm here to tell you, when everyone else sees a mess, God looks through the mess and sees who you can be in Him. And just as your mom is your greatest champion here on earth, God is your greatest champion in the universe. And He believes in you. The Apostle Paul, who started life in his Jewish culture with one goal, he wanted to be the best of the best. And if that meant imprisoning and killing women and children who were following Christ, he would do it. And on the road to Damascus, Jesus got a hold of him and changed his world. And Paul said this of Christ. He said, in the King James, it's worded a little differently, and I'll explain it, but he said this, he, meaning Jesus, hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. We read that and go, oh, that's nice, and we go on, but you don't understand the impact of what is being said there. In the language of the Greek, here's literally what it meant. Jesus looked at me before I was in the ministry and applauded how good I was going to be. Did you hear what I said? He applauded you as a victor before you ran the race and before you won the race. Because Jesus believes in you. He trusts in you. I am not Joel Osteen. You will not get a Cadillac. But I'm here to tell you that God has got your back. And God loves you. And He has created you for great things and great purpose. You say, in Coffee County, Tennessee? Let me tell you something. Mankind may look at what you do and think you're nothing, but God looks at you and sees the little you do and sees something. Did you hear me? You are a somebody to God. She's just hungry. ADD. Instead of squirrel, I'll go baby. I get it there. But when they come out, they don't look like that. They got nothing on. They're naked. And they're ugly. I know, you try to tell me they're beautiful. They are not beautiful. They look like they swallowed a toad. But the mama look and go, they're beautiful. My daughter was born in the ancient days when I was much younger. And we had an old-time doctor who wouldn't let the husband go back in the back. Now, nowadays, that's nothing. The dad's like, want me to cut that cord? Not back then. That's back in the days where Ben Casey, you know, all gloved up and everything there. And I remember them telling me the baby had been born in the C-section, and the elevator opened up, and I was waiting to go see the baby. The elevator opened up, and it had this glass cage, this incubator. And in there was this baby covered with slime still. And you know what I said? I looked at the name tag, that was mine. And you know what I said? She's so beautiful. There's nothing on this earth like a mother's love. But there's nothing in the universe like God's love. It's bountiful. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but would have an everlasting life. That's what God wants you to have, that eternal life, that everlasting life. And it's in Him. It's bountiful. It's huge. It's bigger than culture. It's bigger than society. Now don't get me wrong. I'm not one of these kind of folks that believe, well, whatever you believe, it's all spokes on a wagon wheel. It all takes you to God. That's not true. The God that's big enough to draw up the plan was smart enough to understand there can only be one way. You know why? Because every one of us would be trying to improve on God's plan. By the way, that's where a lot of churches came from. We tried to improve on God's plan. But a mom's love, how do you improve on that? You see, God saw us in our mess and said this, but God showed His great love to us by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet in our sin. You see, mama's love, though, in this world is broken. It's as good as it gets down here sometimes, and sin has made us imperfect, and it made our moms imperfect. One of the funniest pictures I have in my mind of my mom, and I've got a few, but one of the funniest ones I've got. My mom had a great sense of humor. But she was old time. And what she would do, the only thing she about wore was a house dress. Now, she wasn't a cow, but they called them a moo-moo. That's what she wore. Some of you older ones know what I'm talking about. It's just a house dress. That's what mama would wear every time I saw her. One day, we're in there talking, and mom got up and left the room, and I thought she was going to go get medicine or something. And she come back in. She had this headband on with a fly swatter in it and started piling around acting like an idiot. And in my head, I got a picture of my mama with a fly swatter for a feather acting like an Indian. And it tickled me because I was trying to talk to her about some serious stuff. And I was hurting, and I knew I needed a laugh worse than I needed anything else. Mama's love. It's bountiful. It's big. But I'm here to tell you, God's love is bigger. But don't ever forget this. Mom's human. If you ask every mom in this room if they ever felt like a failure as a mom, their answer would be, you know why? Because You're broken. And the only way that you can exercise that great gift of God that He's given you as a mom of love is if you do it in and through Him. That's the way God intended it, but this brokenness, unfortunately, the Bible tells us in the last days, people including moms will be without natural affection. Abortion violates all the maternal instincts planted in the woman's heart by God. Moms also abandon their child at birth or soon after. I can't explain it, I just know it's real, that moms are broken today too. So for those of you that are here, you didn't have the best relationship with your mom. I want you to understand this. God gets it. But don't think all mom's love was bad, because you're still breathing. That's a miracle if you knew us boys. Stephen, we didn't have a wild child in my family. We were the wild children. Now, we weren't bad. We just like to call it being adventuresome. Caleb, you get it? Well, I know Caleb does. We would have adventures. And what we would do is almost like this little war inside between the brothers. My brother Andy, I've told you about him. You say, man, you talk about him a lot. He needs to be talked about. He's mama's favorite. I told you that. Mom and Dad had told us they're building houses up on top of the hill. Said, don't go up there. Guess where we went?
Up there.
Went up to the houses. Last I saw Andy, I heard my dad would whistle. And when he whistled, I know some of you can do it. Even some of you ladies can whistle. I can't. Mine comes out like this. Dad could whistle. No, don't have to do it. He could whistle and it would carry across the neighborhood. And here was the rule. If you heard him whistle and you did not come, that's right. The beatings would follow. And I heard the whistle. Now, my brother was in the house playing he wasn't supposed to be in, that I had just been in myself. And I was fortunate enough to be at the end of the driveway, top of the hill. I heard Dad's whistle. So naturally, as a great brother, I turned to him and went, oh, Brother Andrew, Papa call it. Nope. Nope. I started pedaling my little rear end down the hill fast as I could on my banana seat and my handlebars up here. Fast as I could go. I ran in the yard, threw the bike down, and what you did when Dad was whistling, you had to holler as soon as you knew he could hear you. Coming! And he'd stop whistling. So I come in the house. I walk up the steps. Dad's there. He goes, where's your brother? Oh, man, I was waiting for this my whole life. I said, he's up there at those houses. He hung out the window. He started whistling again. You could hear Andy and he said, Kitty. And I'm thinking, yes, it is. He got in that house. Dad said, where were you? He just looked. It's like, you know how that look you get when you're busted?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? You see her? She's saying, yeah. Poor innocent lamb. Yeah, he gets the kids get it. He was busted. So Dad says, get up here. Dad wore him out. Yeah, that's what I did. I cheered. I'm in the back going, yes. You say, you cruel man. You have no idea what I endured with him. This was like, and in my head, if the song had been around then, it would have been, we are the champions. Would have been playing in my head. Because he finally got, the only reason my brother Andy's still alive is mama stuck. Now, if you, when I was a school principal, I learned a rule. We had paddling down southeast Georgia. We had the parents come in and do it. And we'd ask this question. Who do you want me to call? Yeah. Well, there's different answers, trust me. What I learned to do is if they said mama, I called daddy. If they said daddy, I called mama. And you could see it all over them. Wah! Had one fourth grader. It was amazing. I had to keep a straight face because he was being punished. We're in the office. He's sitting down waiting for his dad to come get him. He gets up, he walks to the counter, he goes, Mr. Sekulich, talking about me. He goes, Mr. Sekulich. I go, what is it, Bonnie? He goes,
you better just go ahead and say goodbye to me now. He was serious. And I'm sitting there trying to keep a straight face, right? And I said, Bobby, why do you say that? And I could hear one of the secretaries around the corner snickering. Because Daddy said if he had to come up here and get me, he was going to kill me. I said, Daddy ain't playing. Daddy going to kill me. I said, okay, Bobby, I don't think Dad really, no, you don't understand. And when his dad got there, all his dad did was open the door, stuck his head in the door, looked at his son and went, in the truck. To us, he went, I got this. Bobby came back the next day and he looked like a little junior Rhodes Scholar. He was a lean, green learning machine. Lasted a whole week, but he was there. His mama wasn't the disciplinarian, but I'll tell you what she was. She was his champion. She saw something in Bobby, and she came and she met with me, and he was at the edge of being kicked out, and she was his champion. She said, listen, I'm not defending his actions. I'm telling you, I know he's done wrong, but I'm asking you guys to give him another chance. And we did, and I'm not sorry we did. Because you see, mom can also be the champion even if she is broke.